And so in this story, we're going to find that he has a decision he makes, a revelation that's going to be made, a price that's paid, and then finally a consequence. And then we'll talk about three things that maybe we can bring to our lives today. The first thing I want you to see is in verses 1-3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare. He went down into it and to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. What he's ultimately doing here, my friends, is he's rejecting God's leading. God has said, go this way. And Jonah says, "Yeah, I'm going to go the other way." Now, some of us look at that story, and this is ancient stuff. We go, Tarshish, where is that? Where is Nineveh? Where are these places at? Well, let's not get into a geography lesson, but I want you to understand that God has a hopeful plan for Jonah's life. He's been chosen by God to take a message to the people of Nineveh that their wicked ways, their evil lives, they need to repent or God is going to bring judgment upon them. And because God saw their wickedness as deeply offensive to him. But they did not have hope. They had hope. God was sending them hope. The one true God has decided to say, "I'm going to send a messenger to you to bring a word of hope, a word of turn away from your way, switch your gears, change your direction." And he says, "I'm going to send Jonah. He's being sent with this message of hope. And you would think if you're a prophet of God and God says, "I have something for you that is great, something that's hopeful, that's good, amazing," you would go, "Yay, I get to go do what God's got for me." Not Jonah. Jonah says, "I don't think so." Now, if he lived in the area around Nazareth, which I think he did, the correct direction for him would have been north by northeast to come up and over the desert and into where Nineveh is in upper Iran, Iraq today, if you know geography today. And what he does is he goes south by southwest to Joppa. He goes the exact direct opposite. He says, "I'm getting out of here." And he says, "I'm going to go to Tarshish." Y'all know where Tarshish is. That's a hard one to say, isn't it? Tarshish. Most scholars believe it's at the southwest corner of modern Spain. If you're not geographically on the ball, that is the complete opposite end of the Mediterranean Sea, by the way, out by the Rock of Gibraltar, out where you cross into the Atlantic Ocean. Israel is at the other end of that body of water. He says, "I'm going as far away as I can go." And that was basically the end of the known world then. I'm going away from here. I'm getting out of here. I'm not staying right here. God says, "I've supernaturally chosen you to be a part of this great plan." And Jonah says, "Yeah, good for you, God. I'm going the other way." He rejects God's leading. He finds a ship, and he's going to board that ship headed the other way. The second thing I want you to see is right there in verses 4-9. Let's read those passages. "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea." Isn't God good? He sends a great wind on the sea. "And there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid." You think? That means it was a bad storm. Ship folks don't get terrified easily with storms. These guys are terrified. "There's a mighty tempest in the sea. So the ship threatened to break up and the mariners were afraid and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said," let me paraphrase, "what are you doing?" He says, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." And so they cast lots. And lo and behold, the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come on us. What is your occupation? Where are you coming from? What is your country? And what are the people that you're part of?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So get the picture. Jonah's on the boat, headed west. He's supposed to be going where? East. He's going west. He's supposed to be going to Nineveh. He's going to Tarshish. He's going the wrong direction, the wrong way. And imagine today you get on an international flight. I don't know if you ever had the privilege to get on an international flight, but you get on one, you look around, and you think to yourself, I wonder what he's going to do on this flight. I remember in the days not too far after 9/11, I got on a few flights, and I would see certain ethnicities, and I'd think, do I want to be on this plane? That's kind of a visual of what Jonah is experiencing that day. He is on a ship. He looks around, and he goes, man, there's all kinds of strange people. They're not the people of God. They've got different beliefs, different thoughts, different actions. But Jonah's really not concerned about the fellow passengers. He's more concerned about what? Taking a nap. God's prepared this great wind, though, to come upon this boat. Now, if they followed the typical patterns of travel in that day, they would not have just gone straight across the Mediterranean. You're going, what do you mean? Well, there's records, and you can look this up in history and all that kind of stuff. But they probably traveled along the coast. They would have probably got on at Joppa and headed north until they got to the southern coast of Turkey and then turned west and then went across into Greece and the Greek islands and then finally went on across to Italy and then on across to Spain. It was safer. You were within eyesight of the shore. If something came up wrong and you had a problem, you could get back on land relatively quickly. But this mighty tempest comes upon them. And in the face of this violent storm, the men on ship start going, well, we better talk to our God. And they all had different gods back then. They started calling out to their gods, save us, save us. But in the inner part of the ship, Jonah has retreated. He's fast asleep. And the fear of shipwreck is resulting in life. And Jonah's asleep? Come on, Jonah. And the captain comes to him and says, what are you doing? Call out to your God. Maybe he could help. And then finally they go, we got to find out what the problem is. So let's cast lots and figure out who the problem is. And lo and behold, the lot falls on who? Jonah. And they say, Jonah, what'd you do? Spill it. Tell us. I said, why are you doing this? Did you notice his response? We find out later in the story, he's apparently told somebody he's running from God, because we discover that in the story in a minute. But here he doesn't say that. Here he says something I think is kind of interesting. And I think he responds here with a very flat answer. You know what I'm talking about, a flat answer? You know, when you catch your kids doing something, and they give you the flat answer. You know it's not exactly it's not a lie, but it's not quite the truth of what's going on. Jonah's answer is this. Well, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the heaven, the sea, and the dry land. It's almost, y'all, hang in there with me. This, he doesn't just follow a God, right? Hello. He follows the God of the Bible. He follows the one true God. He follows the God of heaven and earth and sea and land. And he goes, I'm a Hebrew. I'm from the other side. I'm just him. I'm one of those people. I think his tone of answer is very, very flat, if you will. And I think what he's showing us here is a lack of passion for God. He says, I'm asleep. Leave me alone. I'm a Hebrew. Don't worry about it. It'll be good. Let's look at the third thing he does. Look at verse 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. Now, I got to stop here because I'm not sure the fear here is directed at the storm as much as it is the lack of care on Jonah's part. The men were exceedingly afraid and they say, what have you done? What is this that you've done? And we find out here that apparently some of the men, if not all the men, knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he told them. Why didn't he just tell them in the last verses, well, I'm running from God? Instead, he says, I'm a Hebrew. I follow God. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? Because the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea, that the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. he recognizes in this moment that there's a price to pay. But let's read on verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they couldn't. The sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. And therefore they called out, now get this, their calls a moment ago were to who? Their gods. Now they call out to who? The Lord. There's a shift in these men's thinking and way. And they say, oh Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and they hurled him. I mean, they just tossed him out. You got to go. They hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared. The fear doesn't go away. It just shifts. Did you catch that? They feared who? The Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to the Lord. What he does is he says, we got a problem. He says, I know there's a solution. They know there's a solution. They don't know what it is. They're going to cast lots. And Jonah realizes in the moment, there's a price to be paid. Now part of me thinks, did he want to die in this moment? Was he done with life? He's already run from God. He's already boarded a ship going the wrong direction. This is, in a way, just another way to avoid God. He says, they throw me over, I'm going to die. I get away. There's a price to pay. But in that moment when they threw him over, did you see what happened? I love the way it says it. What does it say? The water became calm in a few weeks, in a few days. It says what? It ceased from its raging. It stopped. This was supernatural, folks. On the water that day, a supernatural event happens. Jonah thinks he's about to die. He thinks he's gone. He's run from God. Too late. Too bad. I'm over. It's finished. But they also, I want you to see this, God changes the hearts of these men in that moment. They called out to the Lord. And if you call out to the Lord, what happens? He answers. If you call out to God, he answers. And they said, God, don't let us die because of his sin. Let us die for our sin, but not his sin. Don't put our innocent blood on this situation. And then they turned around at the end. Did you catch it in verse 16? They feared the Lord. They sought the Lord. Now they fear the Lord. And they offer sacrifice to the Lord. I think it's pretty clear here they became followers or believers, at least in an infant stage of God, of heaven. And they said, we're going to follow you in this moment. But what about our buddy? What about our buddy? What about our buddy? Put number last one up there for me. Jonah then receives what? Compensation. Consequences for his rebellion. Look at verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now the sailors have turned to God. We see Jonah's destination. Any of you envious at this point? That sounds like fun. Of course not. That's an interesting destination, isn't it? For a man who just a few hours before, days before, God had been speaking to and said, I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. I got a direction for you. I have a calling for you. I have something special for you. Do you think he ever thought he'd end up in the belly of a fish? Now, some of you will read that passage and go, oh, there's no way that could ever happen. Do you know it's actually happened in history? In the late 19th century, a guy named James Bartley, had been working on a whaling ship. They used to hunt whales for oil. And he fell overboard and he ended up in the belly of a whale. And you're going, how do we know that? Because they found him when they caught that whale a day or two later, and they cut the whale open, and guess what they found inside? He was unconscious, but he was alive. So it can happen. But you know what? I think there's something bigger that we have to think about in this idea. It's because we're looking at Jonah. We find out and later in the story, he was in there for how many days and how many nights? Do you remember? 3 days and three nights. I think the challenge here is, do we believe that really happened? Let me ask you this. Do you believe that Jesus really died on a cross and rose again 3 days and three nights later? See, it's a step of faith here. His choice had a consequence. And I wonder, as we get into this thought of application, how often do we follow Jonah's example in life? God says, I got something for you. And we go, yeah, okay, thanks. I'm going the other way. I want you to be a part of this. Yeah, I don't think so. But this is my plan for your life. Well, good for you, God. I think I can handle it myself. Three thoughts real quickly. I'm aware of the time. The first thing I want you to see is this. Our passion for God impacts everything we do. Jonah's life, we see his rejection of God, God's call. It impacts his life in a lot of ways. And obviously, we go, yeah, he ended up overboard in the belly of a great fish. Yeah, that's one of the impacts. We don't want to ignore that one, but there's others. Consider the lives of the men on the boat that day, on the ship that day. What had they done wrong? Well, they weren't followers of the one true God, so, you know, they should just go ahead and drown to be done. No, they were just headed west. And they got caught in the storm of Jonah's life. I hope y'all are seeing an application in that. See, Jonah was the target of the storm, but they got impacted as well. There's a poem written about 400 years ago by John Donne. You've heard this phrase. You may not have known where it came from. His poem is entitled, No Man is an Island. And talks about how the interconnectedness of life affects who we are and what we do and where we're at and the life we live. And your actions impact my life, and my actions impact your life, and your choices impact me, and mine affect you. And men and women, boys and girls, I'm here to tell you that the choices we make in life impact those around us. Think of the man who has a flat tire. He changes the tire on the side of the road, but doesn't tighten the lug nuts. Not because he was hoping to have a problem, but because he just missed it. And his car goes out of control, and it hits your family's car and hurts someone in your family. What did your family do to receive that attack, that accident? Nothing. Our choices in life, our passion for God impacts everything we do. I suspect part of the Christian thought is this. In verse 11 of Romans 12, I just highlighted it in the passage. It says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. There's a whole lot else that goes into that passage, but I want you to understand, God calls us to have a passion for Him, a zeal for Him, a fervency for Him that changes and impacts every single area of our lives. Well, I thought that was just about the church side. I don't think there is a church side, folks. There's not a secular side. There's just a God side or not a God side. And as we who profess to follow God, it should be infecting and impacting every single thing we do in life. Because it does. Second thought is simply this. A rebellion toward God brings consequences. Did you not read the passage, Patrick? We read it with you. We know the story now. We understand and we're reminded of what Jonah did and the consequences that happened to him. See, we hear the voice of God. We refuse to listen. We put ourselves on a pathway of God's wrath. And Jonah had heard what was for him going the wrong direction. We heard the sailor's impact. How about Jonah's impact? God told him to do what? Go to Nineveh. He said, okay, I'm going to go to Tarshish. How'd that go for him? Terrible storm. They seem to have given, I think he gave up on life. He was down at the bottom of the ship. He didn't care anymore. He goes, I'm a Hebrew. I say, yeah, that's what I am. That's the way it goes. But his choice brought a personal consequence to him. The more I've studied Jonah over the years, the more I'm convinced that I really think he was hoping he would be dead when it was over. He says, I'm done. I don't want to do what God has for me. I don't want to go the direction. Throw me overboard. I'm finished. I'm done. How often do we set our minds against the things of God and we look at God and we say, God, I'm done. I don't want to do what you want for me. I'm done with this stuff. I think all of us can relate to that at times, can't we? We get to that place where we go, God, I don't know what else to do. And we go, God, but why aren't you blessing me? Maybe it's because we're not listening to the God who saved us and the God who loves us and the God who's called us. Our rebellion toward God brings consequences. Listen to what that was written in the book of Romans. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There was no way on the ocean, on the water, that Jonah was going to bless God with his actions. I wonder how often we choose a path and do actions, and then we go, why isn't God blessing? And then maybe a little bit brighter one here for you guys. This is a Father's Day message. Did you know that? I'm dead serious. You know why? Because, men, we're the ones who have to role model this stuff in our families. This is for us. I didn't say that up front, but it is. One last thought. When God calls, say yes. I'm a firm believer that God has a purpose and plan for your life and my life. He does. His purpose for your life is different than my purpose, his purpose for my life. His plan for your life is different than his plan for my life. And we don't have the same exact calling and direction and thoughts for our life. And that because God has a calling doesn't mean we're supposed to do everything. We do what he's called us to do. I think a big part of the process of coming is coming to the realization that God is at work in the world. He invites people like you and me to be a part of his kingdom, and he has a place for us to serve him. Well, he's not doing what I'm doing. That's okay. She's not doing what I'm doing. That's okay. He has a call for you to do something in particular. You're going, I don't know what that is. Keep looking. Don't give up. Jesus said this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit would abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he could give it to you. God's heart for you and me is to find a place of service, a place of ministry. There's a study done years ago that said if a mama comes to Jesus, there's about a 50-50 chance that children will come to Jesus. But if daddy comes to Jesus and gets serious about it all, it's like a 95% chance the children will come along with him. Daddies, we have a responsibility to not be Jonas, but to step up and do the right thing. My question for you this morning is this. Where are you at? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from being faithful to God's plan to live for him down by the water this summer? Father, we thank you for loving us. We pray your hand on those who need to respond publicly today. We pray for those who need to respond privately before you right now. And our prayer, God, is that you would just be in these few moments as we respond to you. We want you to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.